This is episode 8 of the Awards Insider podcast. Thanks to TAFE New South Wales, Australia's leading provider of vocational education and training, for sponsoring our show. Today we're talking with Jamie McGaish, owner of the Marketing Clan.
Welcome to Awards Insider, the podcast for business owners who don't just want to win an award, they want to craft a killer entry that captivates the hearts and minds of judges. Learn from experts who have won, judged, and worked with awards programs all over the country. We are your insider hosts, Chance Hanlon and Miranda Packer.
Jamie was born in the UK, schooled in England, and went to the University of St Andrews in Scotland, leaving with a master's degree and a reasonable golf handicap. He moved to Australia in 1999 and spent 10 years working for an advertising agency, marketing products that range from luxury fast cars to not-so-glamorous range of household products. He also called Dubai home for 4 years and in 2013 made the move to the beautiful South Coast, where he started the Marketing Clan with one client, a laptop, and a lot of Scottish determination. The Marketing Clan is made up of like-minded and award-winning creative individuals who have worked with each other for years, both in Australia and overseas. When he's not working on creative marketing ideas, Jamie enjoys scuba diving, and also he thinks he's a bit of a naked chef. Jamie, welcome to the HEV studio, and I want to hear more about the naked chef.
Good morning, Chance, and good morning, Miranda.
It's good to see that our minds have all gone straight to where they probably shouldn't go, but we will let Jamie talk about
it. And it's before lunchtime, so we have to keep this relatively clean. But first of all, thanks very much for having me here.
Thank you very much for coming in.
The initiative is exceptionally good when it comes to giving more people more content and more education on some of the really important factors when it comes to the awards and also the reasons why to enter. And I hope that today I'll be able to give you a little bit of insight as to some of the things that we look for and we recommend when it comes to brand and communication.
Sounds good. So probably trying to be a bit more serious about the naked chef topic. I believe that's more about very simple and straightforward.
Cooking.
I love cooking. I love cooking.
How about
every
I do
day.
That again?
No, we'll leave it there. That's pretty good.
You know, he does 2 minute noodles and Weet-Bix. That's is kind it. Of where I was going. Is that the extent of your talents in the kitchen?
I do a mean chicken curry, and because my mother was Italian, there's a fair amount of Mediterranean food and influence in that cooking as well. So, but yeah, Indian is one of my favourites. So, excellent. If you want to come over, you can come and try it. But I will not be naked for you, Charles.
Well, based on that. Tell me, mate, when you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I'd love to say a chef, but that wasn't true. Two things, really. I was really, really passionate about art when I was a young lad, always drawing in the kitchen table, and then I went off to school and spent a lot of time in the art studio and printmaking and doing design work. And I then sort of I was going to go to art college and sort of pursue that career, but I decided to go down the academic route and went to university and studied for a degree in history of art, where I was applying some of the academic, the theory behind why people paint and why people create certain things, and the sort of perception and the views and the codes of how these things work when it comes to a piece of art. But I also wanted, as many, many young lads want to be an adventurer or an explorer, I wanted to be a deep sea diver. A treasure hunter, perhaps.
I've seen some of that on your social media. You do a bit of diving and snorkeling and things
treasure,
like that.
Yep. Treasure in the sea.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I moved to the Shoalhaven was purely because of the diving around the area. And the Jervis Bay is amazing. But, yeah, I've always been passionate about the water, the ocean, and everything environmental when it comes to marine life. But fascination with shipwrecks and scuba diving. So I was an instructor for a couple of years. And I also do a little bit of work at Albatross as a safety diver over there. But okay. Anything to do with submerged, I'm into it. So, yeah, it's really good. So I managed to be able to combine both the art and the diving in the role now in the job with some of the clients we've got. But the art has always been a real passion of mine. So from a creativity point of view, which is really fundamental in our business, to try and get across messages and a point of difference from whether you're a business-to-business client or business-to-consumer, using creativity to have that edge over your competitors and bringing to life a very, very simple message, but executed in a number of different creative ways. So I've always been pretty passionate about that.
Okay. Let's get into this. Let's get deep. Marketing Clan, interesting business, very successful here locally in the Shoalhaven. Tell me, what is a brand voice?
It is a very interesting question, and it's not terribly complex when it comes to explaining what it is, because everybody has a brand voice, whether they mean to have one or not. We do as a personality, as an individual, or as a business or corporation. So a brand voice is not literally the voice, whether it be a voiceover in a radio ad or a TV spot. It's the way that a brand communicates. So think of it as a personality behind your brand. It's the way that we act and behave that you want to be perceived by your customers, mm-hmm. by your audiences, knowing that's the way they will respond to you. So it's something that needs to be consistent across all different communication channels, whether you are on a radio or whether you're online from a social media point of view, or even in store as well. That brand voice has to exude all of those things that make up the business and what makes it different and what makes you unique in the competition. You can actually look at it from an adjective point of view, and a lot of people use this when it comes to creating your brand voice. So, for example, you might be a young and witty brand. You might be a serious and more informed brand. But you have to be aware as to what you are as a business in order for you to actually project that tone of voice or that personality. And many people look at it from a point of view that think of yourself as using human attributes. So you might be going to a barbecue. What are the sort of people you want to meet there, or who are you going to meet, and how are you going to interact with those people? Are you going to be the person that hangs on the sidelines and not say much and just listen and receive information? Or are you going to be the witty comedian, smart guy who makes a point and actually is remembered in a way that may or may not be already in that group? Or you may be someone who is a one-on-one kind of brand, or someone who's more openly communicating with a number of different people. So what we do is we try and help businesses through this process of creating a brand strategy, and as part of that process, determining what the tone of voice is or a personality of the brand may be. And you may even use a celebrity as a kind of indicator as to where you want to be. Are you a Hugh Jackman, or are you another kind of celebrity, to sort of help pin down what you believe is important for your brand and the way that your audience will react to that.
So obviously developing a brand voice allows a business to be truly unique, to be known for something and to stand out and be memorable. Are there any other really compelling reasons that you can give to our listeners as to why they really need to focus on developing a brand voice?
Yeah, I think that and listening to the previous podcast on storytelling, which I thought was a fantastic one, because it's really these days, especially when it comes to Gen Y, and also brands that are out there, they need to be genuine, authentic, believable, but also meaningful as well, so that storytelling can help deliver a brand message and a positioning so that you do stand apart from anyone else. So it might be the way you set up the business. It might be the way that your staff operate and drive that business forward. But I think in terms of having a serious, unique position in the marketplace, having a brand voice that is different, is unique, is genuine, really, really can set you apart. But what you shouldn't be doing is pretending to be someone else. So you have to be honest and open about yourself, so that you're not being perceived as disingenuous. I think that a lot of good brands who are doing this well, they are genuine, and it comes down to setting that tone of voice so that whoever is contributing to those posts or activities, they're all on the same page when it comes to the way we act, the way we talk, the right, and also respond as well, so that you can't pull the wool over people's eyes anymore, and you can't be you can't lose that authenticity, otherwise you'll be pulled up for it. And the worst thing that can happen is that a brand will lose its followers or fans or even custom as a consequence. That whole value, the customer value, when it comes to the lifetime of that customer, it really, really sits very hard when it comes to being open and honest with them.
Can you tell us any examples of brands that do a really great job of having a unique and memorable brand voice?
Yeah, I was thinking about a number of these, and I mean, there are lots, and I wanted to sort of give a couple of just probably quite relevant ones given the audience. One of which is The Economist. Whether it from a political and a business writing point of view, that publication is extraordinarily good at the way it writes, but also the way it communicates. So the style it has when it comes to delivering information that might be very pertinent, quite sharp, or informative, it can be done in a very witty but smart way. So it is relevant, and also it captures a broader audience as well. I think they've got about 6 million readers of the magazine. And if you look at whether the printed version or the digital version, you know, the headlines in their ads and the headlines in their articles are, you know, they're very catching. And I think that comes down to that whole tone of voice. And even if you look at The Economist on their website, there's a style guide, which is obviously used for journalists as well to help. And this goes back to your point, Miranda, about responding in a way that is right for the brand. So we don't use these words. We would like to try and be succinct. And I think that these sorts of cues will be very, very important when it comes to providing business communication as well for award submissions, clarity, and succinct sort of response.
Yeah, I think that's an important point that for businesses that do have a brand style guide, if you don't, you should get one. But it's more than just your visual brand. Your brand style guide should really cover, you know, everything about your brand. And I guess, you know, the way to think about your brand is what people say about you rather than what you actually say about yourself.
Correct.
And you need to make sure that the way that you're communicating with your audience is in a way that's going to make people think of you in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that without wanting to throw any jargon in, that whole process is quite intense process, and it's very collaborative, so that everybody who's a stakeholder in the business from a management point of view needs to, I guess, be on the bus when it comes to the way that the brand is positioned. What's our value proposition? What's going to stand us apart from everyone else? What are the personalities of the brand in terms of how does it sort of go back to the brand values? What do we stand for? What's our mission in our purpose, pretty much? And we sort of, we help a lot of businesses craft that process, because if you're in the business too much, it's very difficult to actually stand back and look at it from a consumer's point of view. You know, someone said to me very, very early on in my life, think like the customer. And it's as relevant today as it was 20 years ago. And it's really important for businesses not to get too involved in that process, that it becomes muddied. It needs to have clarity, because that clarity will then determine the clarity of the brand strategy and the communication through all those different channels.
So in bringing this into award submissions, how should businesses use you know, what we've talked about today and what they already have in place around their brand voice to make sure that their entry is standout and is memorable and is truly representative of their brand?
I think it can be simply put in terms of clarity of message. But I think before you go into the do's and don'ts, you need to be really clear as to what your objectives are. And this is the same for any, I guess, business activity, communication program, is what are you setting out to do? Why are you entering the awards to start with? Mm. And once you've decided what category you're going to enter, is really looking at the nuts and bolts of the business, the story behind it, and really what drives it. And I think that when it comes to the clarity of the message, think simply, because you have to think about the audience at the end. And people do get quite caught up in using abbreviations, acronyms, and industry speak. And I mean, I've worked with clients in the past, and every meeting that was full of NPDs and BDIs and TSBs and LOLs and all sorts of things. And it just gets to the point where we're just talking in abbreviations, and that's just not good enough for the audience, because you never know who's going to be looking at your ad, your
submission,
yep, or anything that sort of drives a response. So keep it clean, keep it succinct, keep the language simple, because there's no point over egging a sentence when it can be just as poignant and sharp if it's shorter.
And I think it's also about having respect for the judges and the time that they actually invest in supporting our awards program. That's something that we spoke about with Mari Person, who's a Telstra Business Awards judge. We touched on that in our interview with her, that judges actually put quite a lot of time into judging these awards, and it's respectful to them to actually put the effort into your entry and make sure it's written well and it's enjoyable for them to read, and they don't have to start Googling acronyms to figure out what you're actually trying to tell them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, the judges' time is very valuable, and they've dedicated a lot of it to encourage the process of and also the entry mechanism. So I think at least some sort of clarity of message and submission is really important, not only for the actual judges, but also for you to actually stand out against the other competitors, of which I'm sure there are going to be so many. And that goes back to the point of being clear in message, using the right language, being succinct, but also really understand what your brand is. And that brand voice, don't try and be someone you're not.
And that probably leads on to this question. Are there any pitfalls that businesses may find themselves in while they're developing their brand voice, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question because, as I said, you can be too involved in the business to sort of see on the outside. And, you know, one of the key things that we've found of late is a lot of businesses think they know their audiences. And when actual fact, they assume that there are lots of things they know about their customers but don't necessarily know it up to date. So knowing what their audience do, where they hang out, and how they receive information is really important. But also looking at your competitors as well, because when you're developing a brand strategy and you're positioning in the market, you need to know what your competitors are doing. Because
absolutely.
Let's look at the number of different professional services businesses that are in Shoalhaven. A lot of them, you could get them confused with one another because a lot of them are saying the same thing. And it's not just that category, it's many categories where you have to do the due diligence to get to the point where you know what your story is and also how you're going to position it. Another thing is the process of getting to that point. Miranda, you mentioned the brand strategy process. It is a number of staged bits in the process that we work with. So we understand, we get to understand the client and the business that they operate in, to then help them articulate why a person or a business should be using their service, what stands them out, and also the values that they stand up for as a business, why we're here, why we're doing it. You know, all the words that sort of come out that sort of explain what a value is, we try and help articulate and craft different ways of doing that. But ultimately, one of the biggest problems that many people have, and this is obviously, I think, true with every small business and even medium-sized business, when there aren't dedicated people to do these sorts of things, is time. And we're all suffering from time issues, so that we can't necessarily do everything we want to, so perhaps we take shortcuts in order to do it, and that's not necessarily the most appropriate way of doing it. So look outside of your organization to think about how they can help.
Great tip. And we've covered quite a lot of stuff today, so maybe let's wrap up by getting your top three tips for entrants to ensure their entry is well written and uniquely and identifiably theirs.
Yeah, distilling these down into three, I think making sure that you're very confident in your brand voice and personality, because the first time you write your submission or any communication, you need to set the scene as to who you are, what you stand for. And that can come through in words in this case. So it's very important that you establish that style. Know your audience. As we said, we don't want to be overdoing the acronyms and abbreviations. And one thing we haven't discussed is grammar, punctuation, which...
We talked about that with Robbie Collins just
a
little earlier.
Yeah, so we were going to include that in this episode, but we actually talked about that quite a lot in our last episode. Yeah.
And also Rosemary talked about it as well, so you are dead right.
Yeah, and I think it's something that I'm exceptionally passionate about and known for. It's not unusual to see me tagged in a Facebook post that's all about grammar and spelling, so I think I threw that into the plan for every single interview, but I think we've driven that point home very much now across all of our interviews.
And there are so many resources available online that you can use to help, whether it be specific websites like Grammar Book or obviously OxfordDictionaries.com, but also looking at blogs and articles that are just beautifully written. And I go back to The Economist again as being one that is, it's smart, it's intelligent, and it's also, you know, can be very witty. But I knew that you had a lot of resources available to you, but I've actually brought one for you today, which I thought you may not have in your library. So, but it's particularly pertinent when it comes to punctuation.
So the people that can't see what's just happening behind the scenes here, Jamie has just presented Miranda with a brown paper. Well, it could be a book, but she's unwrapping it right now, so we'll find out what it's all about.
Out what I've just been
while you're unwrapping with. That, I think the last thing that we need to be clear on is it, being concise and confident when you write, but most of all, ensure it reflects your business. Yes.
It's a book on The Naked Chef. Tell me what it is.
Oh, it's way more entertaining than The Naked Chef. And I would tell everyone what the book is called, but we would have to list this episode as explicit in the iTunes store. So we will call it, the book is Bleeping Apostrophes.
Yeah, excellent.
But I'm sure there are lots of hints and tips in there because everyone looks at grammar very differently. But this one is actually very entertaining. But it proves the point that you can get across a message very entertaining but very, very, very intelligently.
Oh, this has got to be up there with one of the best gifts I've ever been given.
Well, on that note, Jamie, thanks for your time today. Thanks to the Marketing Clan and all the valuable inside information you've given us today. And another great interview, Miranda. So.
And another brilliant interview. Thank you so much, Jamie, for joining us in the HAV studio today. It was great chatting with you.
Thanks.
And to our listeners, if you want to know more about The Marketing Clan or how to discover your unique brand voice, visit themarketingclan.com.
Thanks for listening to the Awards Insider Podcast, Episode 8. Our show is proudly sponsored by TAFE New South Wales, the vocational and education training provider that helps more than 500,000 students realise every and any ambition. We hope you enjoyed listening to Jamie and got a lot of great advice on developing your brand voice and learnt why it's important to have a unique message to stand out from your competitors. Next week, we'll be talking to Warwick Shanks from KPMG and Auditor of the Judges for the Illawarra Business Awards about how to prepare for your interview and completely captivate the judges.
This podcast is brought to you by the HEV Studio.